What's going on, Golf Addicts? DB here, and I know you're disappointed that Backpacking Pat on the thumbnail is not here. This is kind of what he does. This is why a lot of guys are Team DB guys. They're like, you know what? DB, when he says he's going to be somewhere, when he says he's going to do something, for the most part, he does it. And Pat is very wishy-washy. And, you know, we had Live Bro Pat last week breaking down Adelaide with us. And you know, actually, I'm kind of glad he's not here. Like, I didn't hit an outright last week at Live, and I had hit 60% of the outrights prior to that. So maybe Pat was really holding us back. So I think now we're going to be back on it. Okay, I've hit 3 of 6 outright winners for Live Golf. We're going to go for 4 right now tonight on this very show. So it's just me riding solo. Okay, we're talking Live Golf Singapore, Sentosa Golf Club. I'm going to share my screen. We're going to talk about a number of things on the golf course, kind of get a picture of what we need to look at here. This is the second time they've played at Sentosa. I got my boy producer Tony helping out. He'll pop in if he has some questions or comments. Want to thank our friends at SoBet, because SoBet's been like, DB, if you got live bets you want to throw out there exclusively on SoBet, toss them out, dog. And I've been doing it. And we've been doing quite well all season long. In fact, the Dean Burmester bet at 30-1 was exclusively on SoBet. You need to take advantage if you've not already. Click the link in the description. It'll sign you up. Your first month is free with the code TJ or the link. First month free. Every month after that's only $9.95, 33 cents a day for you to follow 60-plus vetted, really good sports handicappers, every sport you can think of. We're the golf guys over there. We do our thing. We put exclusive bets on SoBet every single week. But if you want to bet on dang near anything, I mean, volleyball, you know, pickleball, there's people on there that know what they're doing, okay? Cleaning up on SoBet. Full transparency on the platform with the bets, people giving you reasons why they like the bets, unit allocations, whether they win or lose, how they're doing. It's the most transparent betting social platform you could have. Click the link in the description, join SoBet, code TJ, and we appreciate them for supporting the show. And be on the lookout for some Live Golf bets over there on SoBet. Hit Louis Oosthuizen in top 10 over there last week, plus 170. I had him outright too, but it was because Pat was on the show. It didn't happen. It just didn't work out. So we'll have more exclusive bets on SoBet this week. I've already dropped some, actually, exclusively for the CJ Cup at Byron Nelson. But more to come on Live. Okay, let's take a look at the. Let's talk about this golf course. I want to talk about the golf course, and I'm going to start. I'm going to give everybody a. I'm going to lift up my skirt, okay? I'm going to lift up my skirt and show you the goodies, the kingdom, okay? We're going to get in the Discord. And there's a Live thread in the Discord under the premium chat that we have Live discussions. And I drop some Live research every time there's an event. And we're going to go through some of that research. I'm just going to give it to you. Here we go. This is the Live thread. And for every tournament, Live or the PGA Tour, at some point, some place, I drop off some key player quotes that give us some intel. I read all of them so you don't have to, and then I post only the relevant ones. So let's look at some quotes from last year, Live Sentosa. This is last year. This is from Bryson. And I'm just going to skip through and read the stuff that matters. The golf course is really tight, so you're not going to see a lot of drives out of me this week. But got to play strategic and smart. The greens are pure. Love the greens. That's where I think I can thrive. Well, Bryson typically doesn't thrive on greens, or if it solely depends on greens, which is probably why he finished 19th here last year. I don't like Bryson this week. I'm out. If he can't use the weapon, if he can't use the crank, if he can't crank it out there with his printed driver or whatever in his irons, then screw that. I don't want it. It is a longer golf course. We're going to get to that in a second, but it's tight. You got to be in the fairway. This is more quotes from Bryson and Bubba. Bryson says, tee shots. It's a tee shot golf course. You're going to hit greens. They're pretty big. The greens are pretty pure. You should be able to putt pretty well, but you got to drive it well. Then the question says, I know you're both really long off the tee, but this golf course, everyone says it's more like a mid iron. Bryson says it is. Bryson says it is a mid iron golf course. You're not hitting very many drivers off the tee. He's not. Other guys can, but he's not. There's a couple holes like 6. You want to blast it left and long. Like there's nowhere to hit it in that fairway. It's too tight for anyone, really. I mean, it's very, very tight. So for me, I just blast in the left bunker and get up on the green, or hit it over the bunker and hit it out of the rough and hopefully make birdie that way. Mid iron, okay? Then we get to Phil. Phil's played Sentosa a lot. Sentosa hosted the Singapore Open from 2005 to 2022. Says, yes, there's a couple areas of focus. To play Sentosa effectively, you're going to have to hit a lot of shots from 160 to 210, a lot of 6, 7, and 8 iron shots. You need to hit those really well and drive the ball well. So that's key there from Phil. He says he's played a number of times knowing the golf course. Here you have Sergio, who's played the Singapore Open a bunch and won the Singapore Open. I think the year he won it by like 5 shots. He said, yeah, I played here a bunch of times, Singapore Open. Obviously been able to win it once, done fairly well. It's a course I enjoy, a course I like. I feel like if my game is a little bit on, I hit a lot of fairways, hit a lot of greens, you give yourself a lot of birdie looks, and then the greens are so pure. If you're rolling it with any bit of confidence, you can make some putts. It's that kind of golf course. It sounds like, you know, from what Bryson's saying, from what Sergio's saying, these greens are perfect. I mean, typical South Korea, like, excellence, okay, in golf, and they're golf obsessed. These things have sub-air underneath them. Like, we've heard from players and caddies, this place is so well manicured. It's so pure. And I think that helps a crappy putter like Sergio. I think it helps a crappy putter. There's no grain to read. They're not super tricked up. You hit the greens, you try to hit it close. If you hit your line, you hit the speed, the ball could go in. He says, then Brooks, of course, and his awesome, he doesn't really say much. He just doesn't say much. I just think it's a ball striker's course. You got to put the ball in play off the tee. It's pretty crucial because if you're in the rough, you're going to catch some flyers. And you just got to leave yourself good opportunities from the fairway. And then from there, you can hit it quite close. Big enough greens, and these greens are just so pure, you can roll it pretty easy if you just start online. Exactly what I'm talking about. Big greens, pure as the driven snow. So those are some key quotes. Other things here, like I said, hosted the Singapore Open. Last year, in those years that it hosted Singapore Open, I would say notably Sergio, Paul Casey, and Louis Oosthuizen all played that event a fair amount of times and played well in those event. And in that event and are playing well right now. Sergio won it, like I said, and he also lost here last year to Talor Gooch. Talor Gooch. It's 17 under in a playoff at LIV Singapore. So clearly, Sergio does well here. Okay. Ball striker, crappy putter, but can get hot, make some birdies. It's a par 71, 7,400 yards. There are 3 par fours at 470 or longer. There are 2 par threes longer than 200, and there are 3 par fives all between 560 and 590. Can be fairly gettable for most of the field to get there in 2, but definitely favors the bombers. And I will say, I looked at the early at the weather report. Actually, I want to get to the weather here in a second. This is the top 10 from last year. You had Gooch and Sergio in the playoff. Kepka, Scott Vinson, Mito Pereira, Jason Kokrak, Cam Smith, which, by the way, if you're like, why is this, you know, how in the world is Cam Smith finishing 6th when you have to have the ball in the fairway? There was at least one round. It must have been maybe the 65 round in round 1. There was at least one round where Cam Smith hit every fairway, which even he said in his post-round press conference, that never happens, okay? Charles Howell, good total driver of the ball. Harold Varner, Joaquin Neiman, that's your top 10 from last year. I want to skip the weather for now, but I'll get to it in a second. In 2023, your best rounds, you had Scott Vincent shoot a 62. Charles Howell and Paul Casey each shot 63s. Gooch, Garcia, Ortiz, and Eugenio Chikara shot 64s. None of those guys are short off the tee. Okay, they're all at least kind of average to longer hitters. Good ball strikers. I mean, when you think of Paul Casey, Charles Howell, Taylor Gooch, Sergio Garcia, at least, those guys are all flushers. Guys who shot 66 or better in 2 rounds. This was the group. Gooch, Garcia, Kepka, Cam Smith, HV3, Tringali, another ball striker, iron player, is a nerd, total freaking nerd, dork, Dorkosaurus Rex. Okay. But he can flush his irons. Phil, a lot of experience around Sentosa. Mito's a flusher, and Joaquin Neiman. All right. So I wanted to share that with you. I wanted to kind of let you behind the scenes, let you, you know, take a peek behind the curtain there. into the Discord some of the intel that we dropped. Now I want to share something else here. Let's look at the golf course. Let's look at the scorecard here. If I can get to the right. Okay. Are we working here? Let's see. Now I got to add it. There we go. All right. Got it. We're getting there. So like I said, par 71, 7,400 yards. Here's your scorecard. You know, definitely some birdieable holes where guys are going to have short irons in, but like these guys said, mid and long irons for sure. You're going to have a mid and long iron into number three. You could have a long iron into number five. If you hit the fairway, good drive. You're going to have one in number five. You're going to have one into number seven. You're going to have one into number eight. Again, on number 12, possibly, and probably not on 13. You're going to have one on 14, and you're going to have one on 17 and 18. If you want to get home at two on the par fives, you're probably going to be hitting irons or some sort of hybrid or seven wood or nine wood. Is apparently guys are playing those now. Or if you're Bryson, you're hitting your eight iron that's a six iron length that you 3D printed like a ding dong. So, that's your scorecard at Sentosa. The weather. Let's take a look at the weather, because I will say it's kind of changed. It's changed a little bit since I posted in the Discord. Let's pull this up. All right, we're on Windfinder here. We might get soft Sentosa. You know, soft Sentosa sounds like some sort of music genre that I've never heard of. Oh man, put on a little bit of that soft Sentosa. You know, I really need to calm down after a tough day. You know, Pat was bitching at me and just being real. You know, just real, just real feminine, and I just need him to calm down. He was yelling at me a lot, and I need some soft Sentosa in the background so I can go to sleep. But that's, I think I'm
Wiener Pell, DB.
What's that?
I was thinking Wiener Pell, soft Sentosa.
Well, yeah, but soft really throws you off, that would be like, I need a hard Sentosa. Or maybe it's like a seltzer drink. Like hard Sentosa sounds like a seltzer. But can I get a hard blood orange Sentosa, please? Oh yeah,
lime.
Yeah, that sounds good. But we're not going to get that this week, Tony. We're not going to get it. Based on weather reports, we're looking at rain, a little bit of this is coastal, right? It's coastal. Don't ask me what coast. I literally, if my life depended on it, there's zero chance I could tell you what body of water this sits on. In fact. Well, maybe we'll look at it here. Maybe I'll go to the map here and I'll pull it up. But I mean, I have no idea. Pacific Ocean? I don't know. I talked to Gino Bonelli the other day and I told him, I still don't know where Idaho is. I couldn't tell you where Idaho is. As far as I know, it's Southeast Alaska. That's all I know. Not a big geography guy. Really not. Very, very SEC, SEC baby. I know that. I could tell you that. But anyway, Sentosa's not there. We're going to get some rain here Wednesday. Going to get maybe another little shower, pop-up shower on Thursday. Friday, round one. Looks like rain all day. It doesn't look like a lot of rain, but rain all day. End of the night, Saturday. Going to have a soft course on Saturday. End of the night again, Saturday night into Sunday, the final round. So this place is going to get softened up, which... All right, now before I get into that, let's just look. Let's look at what body of water this is on here. Let me zoom out. This is the, does it say? Oh, God. I feel so stupid right now, honestly. I still don't know. I still don't know. Where are we? What body of water is this? Tony, do you know? Hold on. There's Malaysia. That doesn't help me at all.
I got you, DB. It looks like it's in like a bay or the sea.
Okay.
It's not the Pacific Ocean.
Huh?
It's not the Pacific Ocean.
Okay, it's not. Well, I mean, come on. Like
the South China Sea is to the north, northeast-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the Java Sea to the south, southeast. And then Sentosa Golf Club, right on the tip of Malaysia there.
Look.
Singapore Strait. There we go. We got it. The Singapore Strait. That's the body of water.
Oh, God. I had no idea there was a strait like that in Singapore. I didn't know there was a strait Singapore Strait. I tell you what, man, we never claim to be a highly intelligent show, you know, and definitely not a geography show, not a big geography show at all. That's for sure.
You guys have heard me say words. If you're turning in for any kind of smart anything, then see yourself out.
Yeah, except unless you're talking about outright picks, because nailing that in live, okay, in live world. I don't care about the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour, forget it. Okay, I don't even care. Don't even want to talk about it. In live world, we nail this stuff. Okay, nail it. All right. So what do I think that weather's going to do? It's already a mid to long iron contest. It's going to make it play softer. It's going to make it play longer. It's going to play more into the hands of the longer hitters. The longer hitters might consider hitting a little more, maybe a couple more drivers than they would have normally. There's some trouble off the tee. I mean, Bryson talked about it, the tight fairways. There's some tree line stuff. There's obviously, you know, coastal. There's water hazards everywhere. There is trouble. And to best attack this thing, these guys want to be in the fairways. But with the softer conditions, you're not worried about run out as much. I mean, you know, Gooch and Garcia both got to 17 under in those three rounds last year. So, you know, you gotta make birdies. You still got to score. This is not an overly difficult setup here, even though it's got some length to it. So that being said, I got to say this too. Like I'm not really sure. I'm doing this show and I'm not 100% convinced on who I want to bet on. I've got it narrowed down, but I'm happy to work through this live on the show and with those of you watching live. By the way, if you're watching live, thank you. I see our boy Byron, the Model Maniacs, in here. Now, he's smart. You know, Byron is smart. I'm not smart, but he is. He's also kind of dumb, but like dumb funny. I love Byron. See, I'm just dumb, and some people think I'm funny, but I'm not smart like Byron is. I see DT in Phoenix. Thank you, DT, Dave. American Wasp with Dieter McBusiness. I'm not really sure what that is, but he is definitely Team DB, and God dang it, I love that. You know what I mean? That makes me happy. So thank you for those of you in the chat. Hit the like button, please, while you're here. Subscribe if you haven't already, and participate, because I do want to try to narrow this down. Because I'm not sure where to go here. Let's do this. Let's talk the team bets first, because this is pretty simple. And I'm gonna look on now. You know, the other thing is, if there is any show where, if there's any show where we will talk about an offshore sports book, it is Liv content. Because even though Liv has been legalized stateside, there are a lot of states that still, those sports books and those states have not set up Liv yet, right? Okay. Liv's got to do a few things to get that squared away. I think by next year, every state where it's legal will have Liv as an option. But for now, you know, in the Discord last week, I had people going like, well, what's going on? Like I'm in XYZ state and sports betting is legal, but I don't see Liv offerings. But Liv offering is in some state over here and my buddy can do it. Well, it's just your state legislation is still off. All right. So I will talk primarily about BetOnline, because that BetOnline is the only offshore book that I really deal with and that I think is halfway decent. There is obviously inherent risk with betting on offshore books, because you could lose everything. They could take it from you and you have no recourse. That is the biggest issue. BetOnline has a reputation of doing most things right. They're not perfect, but as long as you're not betting like thousands of dollars, you're probably safe. So I might even screen share a couple things on BetOnline and just, you know, that way I'm not like searching through all the odds through like DraftKings, but then you're like, oh, well, DraftKings is illegal for me, but BetRivers or BetMGM is. That's what we're going to do. All right. The team thing, it's really a matter of two teams for me. You know, Torque, Joaquin Niemann's team, is the favorite at plus 350. Legion 13 is the next favorite at 4-1, and Stinger GC is the fourth favorite at 6-1 with the Crushers at plus 550. And I, you know, right now the Crushers are the number one team in the standings with Legion 13 and Torque GC right behind them, and Stinger in fourth. So we're talking about all the good teams here. The Crushers are not really crushing lately. You know, they crushed Jeddah, they crushed Hong Kong. I don't really see it. I don't think this is a great course for Lahiri. I don't think this is a great course for Bryson either. I think actually Charles Howell and Casey are the best two players there, and I like them both, and they may do some good things. I'm not going to bet Torquay because they're the favorites. I'm not doing it. I love Joaquin Neiman, of course. I think Mito could play well here, but I'm not interested. I think Ortiz is playing well, but I'm not super interested in betting the favorite. Legion 13 and Stinger GC are the two that I like. Legion 13 is just stacked, right? They're stacked with with Rahm and with Hatton specifically. So, and I feel like the Rahm win has got to come here. I know that people are talking about how Rahm is like probably hating his decision in life. Like, we've seen that going around on Twitter and stuff. Like, people thinking he's regretting things and the way he said things or whatever. But listen, maybe he is, but he's still competitive as hell. And I just can't imagine that Rahm is too happy that he hasn't won a live event yet. I also think Hatton is just one of the best players in the league as well. And so when you have two of the best players in the league, I think by a pretty good margin, and both decent fits here, it's tough not to take Legion. Stinger is the other one because Louis is hot. Burmester is hot. Charles is okay. I don't love Charles. What did he do here? He didn't play great here last year, but Charles okay. Who's the fourth one in freaking Stinger? I can't remember. But that team's kind of hot right now, and I could see them doing it. And they're at 6-1. So Legion 13 at 4-1, Stinger GC at 6-1. I think it's actually just Legion. I think we go Legion. I think that's the bet. The team win is John Rahm's team at 4-1. That's the bet. That's what I like. All right. So we made quick work of that. That's the team. Now let's talk about the outrights. Okay. Let's see what the chat says. Anybody? Ironheads or Stinger, maybe Torquay win the team event. American Wasp thinks. I mean, yeah, Torquay being the favorite, it does make sense with as well as Neiman's playing, Mito's starting to show some form, Ortiz, whatever. Is Ortiz on? Why am I forgetting this? Hang on. Let me see here. Is Ortiz on? Am I forgetting this? Sometimes I get the, yeah, Ortiz. Okay, and Munoz. Okay, yeah. And who was the other one in Stinger? Oh, Brandon Grace. He's been kind of quiet this year. Brandon Grace has been kind of quiet. And then Caleb Surratt on Legion 13. That's who I forgot. All right. So I'm good with Legion 13 or Stinger. But I think I just feel like John Rahm's going to get it done, which leads me to the outright conundrum. Because you got John Rahm at plus 650, Neiman at 8-1 are your favorites. And I think I know I'm DB's big balls betting card guy, and I don't bet favorites in golf. So LIV is a little different to me, and it's also different to me when it's John Rahm and how much better he is than everyone else in the field. As much as I love Joaquin Neiman, only a point and a half longer for Neiman is not enough for me to jump off of John Rahm. I think Rahm at plus 650 is the play because I think the golf course sets up well for John Rahm. Long and straight off the tee is going to play. He's going to hit a bunch of greens in reg. We know he can win Birdie Fest. He can win major. He can win anywhere. So I think the total driving of Rahm is the most attractive to me alongside just the motivational factor of like getting it done, getting a freaking win under your belt at LIV. So plus 650 Rahm, that's the first one on the card. And it's going to eat up a lot of units for me, and I don't love that, but here we are. The next names that start to this is going to be a really tight. I think this is going to be a really tight card, as it usually is on LIV because of, you know, the numbers and you know, the lack of only 54 guys in the field and some of these guys not even mattering. But I do have to make some decisions because I like Hatton at 14-1. I like Louis. I don't love Louis at 16-1 because it doesn't. Louis's got to get across. Can we get across the finish line, Louis? Like, can we get across the finish line? I needed you last week, buddy. Needed you last week at 25-1 or whatever he was last week. I had him. Loses by a shot to freaking giraffe swing ass Brendan Steele. God dang it. I needed you then. But like 16, Louis's playing so well. But God, do I trust him at 16-1? The course suits him well. He's got all the Sentosa experience, right? Finished 16th here last year. Runner-up in Adelaide, 7th in Miami, runner-up in Jeddah. I mean, he's playing great. 4th in the individual standings right now. But dang it, like, do we trust him? Does anybody trust Louis in the chat? Does anybody trust Louis in the chat? Tony, do you trust Louis? Do we trust Louis? Because I've got, like, Hatton staring at me at 14, and then I still think Gooch is, I think we're getting a little bit of a, Gooch hasn't had his win yet this year. He dominated last year. He had a runner-up in Las Vegas. He hasn't had his win, but he is your defending champ, and he's still a great iron player. What do you think?
If you're asking me, DB, I'd rather take a risk on Gooch than keep going back to the well with Louis.
I think that's where I lean. Like Gooch, okay, but what about Louis versus Hatton?
I'm a Hatton stan, so I'll usually lean towards him, especially over an older guy like Louis. First thing that comes to mind is Lucas Glover. What was it, a couple years ago? He had that stretch where he actually finished the deal, two events in a couple week span, one on the PGA Tour, but just an older guy maybe has that little bit of a, hey, 2-3-4 week good span, but then at some point the slipper's going to fall off the foot and he's going to go back to being regular Louis. I don't think he's going to be up there contending.
But I mean, the argument there is Louis's, you know, he's come closer than Hatton has all year. I mean, he's ahead of him in points. Hatton's had 2 top tens, an 8th in Mayakoba and a 4th in Miami. Louis's had the 2 runner ups, an additional 8th in Mayakoba and a 7th in Hong Kong. I mean, 4 of his 6 events, there have been top tens, including 2 runner ups. But it's just like, can he close the door?
So that's the thing. I have zero confidence in him closing the door.
Okay. So maybe we go Hatton. I could see me eliminating at some, I don't know. Again, I'm working this out with everybody now. I think what I want to do is I want to go Rahm and I want to go Hatton at 14-1. I'm buying the Legion, you know, the Legion Legion 13 hit here. So I'm going to go Hatton at 14. I do like Gooch at 18. You know, the one thing about Gooch that does concern me a little bit. No, I'm working through this. He's playing in the PGA in a couple weeks. He's run his mouth. I just feel like he's got some, I feel like he's still got a little chip on his shoulder. He won a bunch of money last year, bunch of money. And you could make the argument, maybe he won all that money and he kind of, you know, he's chilled out, but you know, he's got 3 top tens this year, including a runner up in Vegas. Didn't defend very well at Adelaide last week. Did not defend well, but finished 26th. But he checks a lot of boxes. Total driving, putting, birdie average, scrambling, all that's good. Always been a solid iron player. I feel like he's going to want to peak coming into the PGA. This is last tournament for the PGA. He's going to want to do something. He could mess up and win this thing again and defend it at 18-1. So Gooch at 18 is enticing. I think Sergio at 25 has to be a bet. Like, I said this last week in Adelaide. I had him in Adelaide, and he was terrible. He's been good to me all year because he's lost in two playoffs to guys that I had with Neiman and Burmester. So I'm grateful for him for that. But he's dominated Sentosa before, played it a bunch, finished runner up here. You know, in, like I said, in the playoff last year at this place, has, you know, actually finished 40th at Adelaide last week. But I don't really care. Total driving, he's checking the box, greens and reg, scrambling. I mean, typical Sergio, making birdies. He just can't putt statistically this year or any year really. But he knows these greens; they're pure, easy. I think Sergio could get it done, and I think he's actually a good value at 25-1. Like I think that's actually a decent number. Then I'm dropping down, and I got to pick a couple of bombs. I'm seeing my boy Dieter McBusiness. Somehow I need to understand what that means, but Dieter McBusiness is talking a lot about Mito, and Mito is a name on my list. We know he's a flusher. We know he can hit it. His best finish of the season was last week at Adelaide, finished eighth, finished fifth here last year. Could Mito be doing it? I don't know, but I tell you what, it does feel like Mito's not been a guy that's kept the hunger going when he got on live. I'll just say that. I don't think that's the case for everybody, but like I need Mito to prove it a little bit. And he's not really proving it. He's not really proving that he wants it. He's on a great team. He's making great money because his team's making money. He's on live. He's doing his thing. But I feel like I got to see a little more dog in him. I don't really feel like we've seen it. So I don't think I'm prepared to lose it on Mito. Paul Casey's interesting, like Louie, like Sergio, ton of experience at Sentosa, 35-1, playing really well this season, runner up, top five finish, top, you know, got T11, T14 finish, 31st at Adelaide, 30th here last year, not great. Not really sure I'd trust him all that much either to close the door at 35-1. I'm not super interested. So I got two bombs down here at the bottom, and I think I'm going to take a flyer on one. I think I'm going to take a flyer on Andy Ogletree at 125-1. 125-1. Asian Tour Player of the Year. Won a Singapore event, or at least did really well at a Singapore event. I can't remember which one it was. Has earned himself a spot in the PGA, in the PGA Championship. T3 at Adelaide last week. The guy is bucking his head and peaking at the moment. So I think Andy Ogletree, 125-1, is worth a flyer. No pun intended. I'm pretty sure he's on the high flyers. Actually, let's double check that. Yes, he's on the high. See, I got that. Nailed that. Nailed it. So Ogletree at 125, and then all the short names. That's kind of it for me in the outright department. Now, I do want to talk a few placements because I like the top 10 game. I like the top 10 game at Live for Live every week. I think I'm going to go bombs. I think I'm going Ogletree 7-1. I'm going Sergio at 2-1. I think Paul Casey at 2-1. I want bombs. And then two guys I haven't talked about yet. Sebastian Munoz, I really like. And I liked him last week. He kind of disappointed me. Finished 38th in Adelaide. Finished 33rd here last year, but he's got a ninth place finish in Vegas, 13th at Mayakoba, a bunch of top 25-ish things, good total driver, iron play has been solid, putting has been pretty good. He's fourth in birdie average, plus 450 to top 10. I don't know. I feel like Munoz could pop here. I'd say I like Ogletree, Munoz, Casey, and Garcia the most in the top 10 range. The only other one, and it's just kind of a gut feel because the guy is a bomber, and he's a pretty good putter. He's an underrated putter, and he's had his two best finishes of the season, his last two events, 14th last week at Adelaide, 9th in Miami. And he's going to do better on longer courses with mid-irons and long irons, and that's Thomas Peters. At 5-1. Thomas Peters 5-1 top 10. is kind of getting me a little bit. So yeah, I think that's where I'm landing. Rahm and Hatton, Gooch, Garcia, Andy Ogletree. Can't believe I'm saying it. Andy Ogletree. In the outright department, along with, did I say Hatton? Yeah, I think I said Hatton. Yeah. Those are the outrights. And then top 10s, we're going Ogletree, Munoz, Garcia, Casey, maybe Thomas Peters. Team winner, I'm believing in Legion 13 at 4-1. If you want to get a little wilder, Stinger GC at 6-1, I think is also a solid bet. But I'm just going to bet one. I'm not going to bet more than one team. And that's it. That's LIV Singapore. Tony, any other questions? Anything else we got? I wanted to make it snappy. LIV Singapore. The next LIV event is in Houston in a couple weeks. Tony's backyard. Then they're going to Nashville. We'll be at Nashville. Tony, you got anything?
Yeah, let me throw one at you. Okay. Can I get any interest? He hasn't played well recently. We're going on 5 events now. DJ at 28-1. Is that my dumb brain just thinking it's DJ at that number is great value and I'll throw a little bit on him?
No, I don't think that's a dumb brain thing. I don't. I gave DJ a look. You know, the win in Vegas has carried him a good bit this year. The 5th in Mayakoba, he started off hot. He won, and he's kind of not done much. Didn't do well at Augusta. Didn't do well at Miami. I thought he would do better in Miami. Finished 23rd here last year. the putter kind of has let him down this year. I think it probably depends on however you're wanting to structure your card, what you're doing. But I mean, I think a 28-1 DJ on LIV is probably never a dumb brain thing. It's just not. He's not checking all the boxes I'd like him to check at the moment. But I don't think it's a dumb bet if you like it. I wouldn't talk you out of it.
Solid reasoning.
You know what also, I mean?
If you haven't looked at Phil Mickelson's profile picture on the LIV homepage, do yourself a favor and do that as well. I gave me a good chuckle while I was looking up DJ there.
Is that under the players tab?
Yeah, players, and just scroll down to Phil, and it just looks like he could stare a hole through your entire soul.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This picture is gone. I think that exact face has gone viral and been put on top of a lot of other, like, Photoshopped on stuff and all. I'm just looking at other guys, like, Thomas Peters like has posture issues. He needs to work on his posture. He's very slouchy in that one. Poults definitely looks like he knows that you know that he sucks now and he should probably just stop. David Puig looks like he kind of looks like you just walked in on him like looking at very like strange like clown porn or something, like something really weird.
That sunken in face.
Yeah. Brendan Steele looks like your dad's like really disappointed face when he's not like he's not mad, but he's disappointed, you know? Or like when he found the cigarettes in your car and he's already got them out on the table and you don't know, and you just walk in, you're like, hey dad, and he's like, hey. And he's waiting on you to, he's waiting on you to look.
See, I like Pat Perez's picture there. Looks like the old wily veteran who's gone through and seen some stuff compared to John Rahm right there, who's the spry new, just out of college, perky. Oh, I'm excited to be on this tour.
Yeah,
hasn't really gone through it quite yet.
Surratt just looks like he's in the second grade compared to these guys. Oh my, let's look at this. Oh good, you're already sharing the screen. Good. I was like, look at Swafford's face. and I love Hud. He's a good dude,
but Dag, lean back,
he's just like, f me, man, I can't make a team out here in this mother, you know?
Yeah.
U-line looks like they made old school after him, that he was like wanting to go back into college and be in a frat and do the beer keg stuff and have, you know, have petroleum jelly wrestling contests in the front yard or whatever.
I feel like his picture looks like they Photoshopped three different parts of just his upper body. Like his stomach looks like it's a little more to my right. His chest and shoulders look a little to the left. And then his head was just placed on there.
Yeah. It's all those years of keg stands. Kieran Vincent. I've already talked about this. Kieran Vincent looks like the original lion in the Wizard of Oz. If I had a, what did he need? A brain? He wanted a brain, right?
He needed courage.
Oh, courage. Courage. Oh, see Kieran Vincent doing that a lot. I don't know. But Wolf, just from like the Wolf's face just looks like, this looks like his DUI, like a DUI picture.
Like, oh gosh, here we go. Like again.
Let's go to the top since we started with Phil. Let's see.
Lee Westwood is just like, yep, I'm stealing so much money from these Saudis.
Dude, scroll up to the top. Old Dick Bland. I mean, he's got the crooked hat. It's literally like, hey, Grandpa, put the hat on and let's take a picture. And he's like, oh.
Eat a brunch.
He's dribbling prune juice out of his mouth. And then Burmester just looks like, he looks like he's on Adderall or something. I love Dean though. Just hit me 30-1. God bless him.
Looks like if Sean Payton played golf. Not Sean Payton, Sean McVay.
Oh, Sean McVay. I kind of see that. Ben Campbell. Who the hell is that? I didn't even know. He's a reserve guy. Laurie Cantor, reserve guy. Those guys don't get to wear hats, I guess, because they don't have a team. Casey's picture's not bad. Munoz doesn't look bad. Munoz looks kind of gangster. He's definitely got like hydraulics that he'll hit every now and then.
Bryson looks like he's trying to look jacked.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he is, but he looks like he's, I'm going to puff it out, my chest out a little bit. I'm going to put my arms here to kind of make my muscles look a little bigger.
He also looks like he's talking and because he talks so fucking much,
they
kept snapping pictures and they realized they didn't have any picture of him not talking. So they just threw one up there. Sergio's got the overlap, the overlap so he can show off his watch. The Fireball's watch. Gooch looks normal. Grace, Grace looks like a patient Grace looks like he's been in the hospital for a while and his favorite player from Stinger is coming to visit him, so his mom and dad put him in those clothes. So that he was ready to go.
It looks like one of those old like Kmart photography pictures. Like that just comes stock in the catalog.
Dude, I still to this day cannot get over Lucas Herbert's ear. Like I don't. God bless him, and I know that like, you know, not everybody's born with everything. You know, I mean, he's obviously been born with a gift of playing golf, but. He definitely was born with a rebel ear. That thing is just wanting to go somewhere else. And I don't understand, like, you got all this money now. Like, get that thing tucked. You know what I mean? I went to school with a kid who had big ears in sixth grade. His parents had money, and they got his ears tucked. I remember when he came back to school from the surgery, and we were like, dang. And that was in, like, 1996 or whatever. Lucas. Tuck that damn thing in. You get half off. It's only one ear. That's the problem. You're going to get half off on the deal.
And then Sam Horfield looks like he just passed Lucas while he was coming in for his picture. And now he's acting like, holy, did you just see that guy's ear?
God, huh? And then Charles is like, I have perfect ears. Literally, my ears are so perfect. It's ridiculous.
It looks like he's counting his money that he has in the bank that he made over the 27 years. Yeah.
Then there's DJ. Look at DJ. He looks like Hollywood Hogan when he turned heel. I don't know what Matt Jones. Keimer looks like he's always looked, actually. LAK, you got an Anthony Kim in there. Did they just pull him out of a cold plunge? Because he's like, he's doing like this, like the like really cold cross arm thing. Maybe they cryogenically froze him and they had just pulled him out for the picture. Brooks looking like his normal douchey self. Co-crack. He just looks normal. Brooks with the Nike hat, you know, and the Nike gear. No smash. No nothing.
Yeah.
Nike athlete, man. I'm a Nike guy.
Just here to win.
Jinichiro Kazuma, who had a little run at the top of the Adelaide leaderboard last week, looks like they pulled him from some sort of
the womb.
Yeah, so I was going to say some sort of a child labor sweatshop somewhere because actually, you know, he was the one, he's been making all the hats and the apparel for Liv for the last couple of years. And turns out he can play golf and they plucked him out of there.
Then Anirban is the one who's managing that sweatshop.
Yeah, he's a Anirban is not a guy you want to work for. He's kind of a taskmaster.
Then Danny Lee owns the sweatshop.
Danny Lee looks kind of androgynous there, if I'm honest. Like I know
what androgynous means, but for everyone else watching, can you explain that?
He just looks like with some slight Photoshop work, I could convince you that he was a she and she played on the LPGA tour. Leishman, we're getting to the end of this. Leishman, I don't know. Leishman just looks kind of normal. He looks kind of like a bro. Those don't look like Graham McDowell's arms to me. Like if you just look over and look out.
His whole body, yeah.
I think those are someone else's arms. But everything else looks right, like his little belly and his little body. Maronk, the Polish giraffe, as Pat Mayo calls him. I can't say anything about Maronk, man, because Maronk landed him a rocket. I don't know if you know, but.
Yeah, yeah.
The Polish Willie Z has done well for himself. And all right. That's that. We didn't plan that, but that was fun. We just, you know, just roasting Liv mugshots on the, listen, love these guys, but you know, these are, you know, tour player photo, PGA tour photos are weird too.
Yeah.
I wish they were more than just like, they're usually just from like here up. I wish we could get more of the, either the AK I'm freezing or the Sergio, look at my watch from PGA tour guys. We could roast those too.
It'd be a fun bit to do with their bios and just go through some of the weirdest, strangest things that are in their bios. Because some dudes have like 14 lines of information that they give, and then others are just, I went to Texas Tech, and that's it.
Yeah. I went to South Carolina. I like fishing.
I hunt and I fish.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Good stuff. Good show. Good luck for Liv Singapore, Sentosa. Do the dang thing. It starts at 9:15 p.m. Eastern on Thursday and Friday night. If you want to watch rounds one and round two, 9:05 p.m. Eastern on Saturday night for round three, the final round, as they are 12 hours ahead of us. They're in the future over there. Okay. Thank you. Let's have a week. Bend over your bookies for Liv. See ya.